Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
We're starting a series called Weapons of Warfare. Yeah, Weapons of Warfare. If you don't think you're in a battle, the battle's pretty much won in your life. Because the person who doesn't think they are in a battle, then the enemy can do whatever he likes in your life and you don't even know where it's coming from. But when you're guarded, you know, if you're about to enter into a street fight, not that any of you do that, some of you do, but most of us don't. You know, if somebody's out to get you and you just stand there with your jaw wide open and your hands down and you don't even think you're in a fight, you're the one who's most vulnerable.
Yeah.
But when you're actually expecting someone to attack you, you know, you get into a stance and you get ready and you start thinking differently and you start trying to do things to protect yourself. You start looking at your environment. You start thinking in a different way because you know that there could be an attack that's about to take place. Now, let me tell you, the Bible tells us that there is an enemy who doesn't want to see us fulfill the plans and the purposes of God for you or for your children. And so we want to equip you with the weapons of warfare so that if you're going to fight this battle, let's fight it well. Let's fight and win in Jesus' name. Amen. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be unpacking that. And so I'm going to start off with this question. And here's the question. If I could wish one habit or discipline into your life today, if I could click my fingers and you had a discipline, a habit that would bring success, that would bring passion. Come on, let's live passionate lives. A productive life, an emotionally healthy life, a committed life, a wise life. How about an influential life? If I could wish one thing that would bring those things into your world, what would I wish for you? What would you wish for me? I can tell you what I would wish for you, and that would be that you would develop the habit of prayer. That you would be a prayer. And some of you just went, yeah, thanks for that. So I'm going to spend the next few minutes trying to change your mind if that's what you think. And for those of you who are already convinced, I'm going to convince you even more if that's okay. You know, the early church were world changers. Did you know that? Jesus started with 12 people. One of them didn't even make it. He got replaced by really the Apostle Paul. So we're back down to 12 people. And you know, 12 people with an incredible passion for prayer have become now 2.4 billion people around the world. Did you know that? From 12 people to 2.4 billion. Listen, if you get on Google right now, but you won't do that because you're listening to me. If you were to type in largest faith in the world, it would come up with Christianity. It is the largest faith in the world with 2.4 billion believers. And how did it all start? With 12 people who decided we are going to pray. And some of you say, really? Is that what they did? Acts chapter 2 verse 42 says, this is Jesus has risen now and now the church is coming together. And now it gives us a description of what they did. It says all the believers devoted themselves. Everyone say devoted. 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 Say it with me. Devoted. They devoted themselves to what? To the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Now, watch this. Most of us in this room, I've met most of you, and I know something about you. You're a learner. You love learning. So you know what? I would say that in this room, we are devoted to the teaching, just like these people were. We are devoted to teaching. We love learning stuff. People are on podcasts. They're learning as much as they can. They're doing courses. We're all trying to better ourselves. I would say most of us in this room are also devoted to fellowship. What's that? Just hanging out together, spending time together. Most of us are devoted to that. So we're doing okay so far. But here's the third one. How devoted are we to prayer? How devoted are we? Would you say, if someone was to say to you, so what do you think about prayer? Would you say, oh, I'm so devoted to that? Or would you go, yeah, no, it's something I sort of need to do. That's how these people change the world, through prayer. Do you know when the Bible mentions something once, you ought to take it very seriously. Do you know when the Bible mentions something twice? It's a very important detail that God wants you to know. Do you know when the Bible mentions something three times, you ought to tattoo that thing on your forehead? Well, how about when prayer is mentioned 375 times in the Bible? 375 times we are instructed or someone prayed or we are encouraged to pray. Now listen, most of us in this room, right up front, you would say, no, you've already got me. I know that prayer is an important thing. It's necessary. I get it. I know it's powerful. But would you also agree with me that we don't tend to do it? Can we be that honest today? That can we say, look, I know it's necessary. I know it's, but it's sort of for people that really love God and stuff. As for me, I'm just a little bit busy for that. But please pray for me when you think about it. I think I've got a sneaking suspicion as to why we don't pray. And this is where I'm hoping to go today. What if prayer is not so much about getting things from God, but rather getting to know God?
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Because let's be honest, I think that's what we've relegated prayer to just getting stuff from God. And you know what? You know when you've got all your stuff, you stop praying. But you know what? If you had a shift today and prayer wasn't about getting stuff, but getting to know God, do you know that never ends? You know, you just don't stop getting to know God. What if prayer wasn't about asking God to change our circumstances, but rather praying so that God would change us? You know, that doesn't change, that doesn't stop either. What if prayer could be more about me being different rather than circumstances being different? I think that would encourage us to pray a little bit more. Now listen, what I'm not saying is, I'm not saying that we should never ask God for things. And I'm not saying that God can't change things through prayer. I think we've already heard enough messages about that. Let me tell you what the first work of prayer is. How many of you have heard the statement, prayer is powerful? Put your hand up. Prayer is powerful. It is powerful. But let me tell you what its primary and most powerful work is. For you to build a healthy, deep relationship with a living God who rules the universe, who created you. That's what prayer is. It's not just a taskmaster. It's not an app to get God to do stuff for us. Friends, I don't know about you, but I want to take us on a journey and I hope you'll join me. I don't want to be a person who simply seeks God's hands. I want to seek His face. I actually want to know Him. I just don't want the stuff that He can give. I actually want Him. And this isn't just a New Testament thing. Moses, the Bible says this in Exodus 33:11. It says, the Lord, come on, can we read this out together? The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Moses would speak to God as someone speaks to his friend. Does anyone want that here today? I want to put salt into your mouth today. I want to make you thirsty for that type of relationship with God, where we actually know Him and love Him. And it's not just turn up to church and we just put a bit of money there and oh, we serve coffee and it's like at the end of the day, we haven't gotten to know God one iota more than when we walked in. How did Moses develop this? How did he become a friend with God? God used to sit with him, having a short black together. Wouldn't have been short black because that's an Italian thing. It would have been more of an Arabic thing or an Israeli thing. I don't know what they drink. Psalm 103 verse 7 tells us, here it is. It says, God, God, revealed His character to Moses and His deeds to the people of Israel. There it is right there. Watch this. Do you know when Moses caught up with God, it wasn't all about God, can you do stuff? It was more about God, who are you? Who are you? What makes you tick? Why do you think that way about these people? Why do you show so much grace to these people? How did you create the... It was more about knowing Him rather than, can you just do that for me, please? Come on, let's be honest. How many of us are in a state where our prayer life is just basically asking God for stuff? And that's okay, nothing evil about that. But how about we seek His face more than His hands? You know, the Bible tells us that Moses knew God, the people knew miracles. Do you know when the miracles stopped, they didn't know God. Do you know when you only ask, if your relationship with God is only about you receiving stuff, do you know the minute you stop receiving, then your love for him starts to wane? Do you know, as you get to know him just for who he is, do you know that never ends and it never stops? And it just keeps growing and growing and developing and more and more. And God, whether you come through or you don't, I still think you're good. I still think you're awesome. Oh God, I really want a house, but I haven't got the house yet, but you're still the God of the universe and you own everything anyway. Do you know that never, ever changes? Friends, I think our prayer life would change if we used it differently. Now, in the middle of all that, we're going to see God do stuff. But I've got to tell you, I got saved at 16 years old. And God radically changed my life. And then I started attending church and I was evangelizing and telling anyone who would listen to me about the Lord. And then I began to serve. And you know, 4 or 5 years later, I started to feel that my love was starting to just grow cold, just little by little, just a few calluses on my heart, a few disappointments, a few I thought I would be there by now, but I'm only there, and a few leaders being a little bit horrible to me when they probably should have been a little bit more godly. Come on, anyone been there? And all of a sudden, your heart is getting a little bit more callous, and all of a sudden, you're coming to church with your shoulders down, and I sort of lost sight of everything. And I would love to tell you that my pastor preached a message like this and it revitalized me, but it actually wasn't him. It was actually an artist that I started listening to. And he began to write a song. And I'm sitting in my car and I'm just listening to this song. And it says, "Oh Lord, you're beautiful. And your face, it's all I seek. For when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me." And I listened to that song over and over and over. I thought, you know what? I've got to learn the piano too now. So I learned the piano so that I could just play this one song. So then I started to learn the piano just so I, and you know what? I used to do Bible college, and then when everyone else would go to work and I was working a much later shift, so I used to go into the chapel and just get onto the grand piano. I could hardly play the thing. And I would just sit there and I would just say, "God, I don't want to chase your hands. You've done enough for me. I just want to know who you are. What makes you tick? Why do you love me? Where are you getting this grace from?" And I would just sing to him and sing. And as I would, with every syllable coming out of my mouth, my heart would soften just a little bit more and just a little bit more. Because you may have disappointed me, but he's never disappointed me. You may have let me down, but he's never let me down. You may not believe in me, but he believes in me. And as I begin to know his character, it just started to light a fire within me. And that fire was melting away the wax around my heart. And all of a sudden, I was back on track. And all it took was one song. I don't know where you're at right now. But friend, by the end of this year, my prayer for you, by the end of this service, I'm praying that you're just a little bit softer, a little bit more passionate. I know what life does. And I know its power to make us callous. But this is what Psalm 27 verse 8, written by King David, says. When you said, who said? This is King David saying, God said. When God said, "Seek my face," my heart said to you, "Your face, Lord, I will seek." Come on, I know I'm speaking to a bunch of people. Some of you have recently joined our church. You've been Christians for 35 years. God bless you. Welcome. But you know what? I don't know what experience you had there and what that person did to you and what that woman did to you. And you know what though? Today's a brand new day in Jesus. And today we can set our hearts to seek his face. And all the disappointments and the surroundings and the things that have disappointed us can melt away with just one look at his face today. Is anybody with me today? Come on and give the Lord a huge round of applause if you are with me. Not just what he can do, but who he is. Do you know what they say is the number one cause of divorce? The number one reason. There's a whole lot of reasons, but the number one is a lack of communication. A lack of communication. You know, you can use prayer to achieve lots of things, but its main purpose is that you would have a communication with God. That you would communicate with him. This is the scary thing, friends. Somehow, we think prayer is simply about power. It's about miracles. It's about signs and wonders. And that's what we think prayer is. Come on, let's pray. And it's always about results, isn't it? Prayer's always about results, and it's about changing the world out there. But then we read Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23. What a frightening verse that is. Here it is. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone. But only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Here it is. Here's the will. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. These people were telling the future. Wow, that's pretty powerful. And in your name, we cast out demons. Listen, how do you cast out a demon? You have to pray it out. So these people were praying. And in your name, we performed miracles. How do you do that? You pray for a miracle. These people were praying. And then Jesus says, but I will reply, but yeah, but I didn't know you. Because that's what it's supposed to be about. It's not about the prophecy and the casting out of demons. That's just a byproduct of us actually knowing Him. Knowing Him. I just want to know you, God. I want to seek your face. I just want to know you. I just want to know you. Let me tell you what Lifehouse is all about. I just want you to know Him. Now listen, if you're sick in your body, I'm going to pray for healing. But I don't want you to have a perfectly whole body but not know Him. I've got to be honest, it's not my highest priority in your life is your healing. I want you healed so that you can know Him. That's why I want you healed. I desperately want you healed. I want you to flourish and to prosper. Why? So that you can know Him. So that you're not just so busy at work. I want you to prosper so that you can know Him. I want you to be free to read your Bible a little bit more so that you can know Him. That's the plan. That's what this whole thing's about. Please don't get confused with what church is all about. It's not about this and that and lights. It's about knowing Him. That's all it is. It's all about knowing Him. We can turn off all the lights and still know Him. It'd be awkward. Some dangerous things would happen. But what a frightening verse that is. Jesus, we did all these miracle signs and wonders. Yeah, I don't know you though. And it didn't go too well for those people, by the way. Do you know, when we go on date nights, does anyone go on date nights, couples? Yeah, you should go on date nights. And maybe you're just starting a relationship and you're on your first date. Maybe you are in an established relationship and you're on a date night. Do you know, when you go on out on a date night, this is what Helen and I do. We tend to just sit there and I'll stare into her beautiful brown eyes. Do you know what I don't do is then go, now that I've got you here, can you please, when you iron my shirts, can you please start with the top button first? When you vacuum the floor, can you vacuum all the way under the bed? And by the way, and would you mind just washing my car too, Helen? And the food, you know, the chicken schnitzels, do you reckon you can cook them just a little bit longer on that side? I'm glad you're laughing because that's what you do in prayer. That's what you do in prayer. God, I want to spend some time with you. And God says, oh, this is awesome. Thank you. What are we going to talk about? God's all excited. We're going to spend time together. Yes, Lord, we're going to spend. Lord, I'm going to even drive up a mountain somewhere. Oh, this is so romantic. Thank you. So what do we talk about? Well, Lord, I want more power. I want more praise. I want to be able, and please hear my cousin, my sister, and please Pastor Richard some more hair, please, Lord. And God says, oh, really? Okay, sure. I'm a gracious God. Yeah, sure. But what about the Moses thing? No? Are we talking face to face? Are we talking face to face? Or are we just... Do you know when you're with someone, you're supposed to find out what their dreams are? Let me just give you a little bit of a heads up. Couples, if you've been married for 35, 600 years, I don't care how long you've been married, listen, still ask your partner, so what are your dreams, honey? What are your dreams? What are you thinking about these days? What are you passionate about? What are you no longer passionate about and why? That, you know, that's what you're supposed to do at date nights. Not just talk about the kids and how bad they are. You're supposed to talk about their fears. Come on, let's be honest. For some, it's their hopes, their character. Do you know, there's two types of people that I catch up with. Do you know, there's the people, and I think it shocks some people sometimes. Do you know, there are people that when I catch up with them, it's all about, Pastor Richard, can you? Can you? And I'm okay with that. I'm thick-skinned. It's okay. I've got plenty of time. Of course, I'd love to help you. Then there are some people who it's not about, Pastor Richard, can you? I need. It's more about, hey, you've been, Pastor Rich. What have you been doing? So what have you been thinking about these days? You know, what's on your heart? Do you know, if I've got a choice between hanging out with this person, where do you think I'm going? The person who's just I don't want to use the word drainer, because they're not a drain. But they're a little... That word did come to mind, right. Okay, did I give that away? Okay. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I think I'm sort of more interested. Don't get me wrong. There's always going to be give and take. There's always going to be I need and I... And that's, there's nothing wrong with that, except when it comes at the cost of relationship. If that's all it comes down to, I'm not overly interested. I'll help you, but there's no relationship. And then there are some people, you know what? Then this makes people laugh. There's some people I hang out with, you know, you wouldn't say they're overly godly even. They hardly know their Bible sometimes. But I just love being with them because they're not self-centered. It's not all about them all the time. We just have a laugh sometimes and it's okay. There's actually relationship there. Go for relationship. If God has to make a choice, let it be you. Now, we know that He doesn't make a choice because He's so magnificent and He's so beautiful. Do you know, recently I caught up with my son-in-law, Darcy. He's actually doing his third year Bible college up there in Sydney. And he's been told by his mentor that he has to ask one good question every day. So we went away on a 7-day holiday. He had to come up with 7 great questions. And believe it or not, it was actually quite difficult for him to come up with very meaningful questions. But what's his mentor trying to do? He's trying to stop him from being self-centered. And he's trying to get him to discover something, Darcy, about other people. I thought it was a wonderful thing. But he was struggling with a question. So anyway, he was trying to formulate a question. And then I beat him to it and I said, Darcy, can I just say something? And he said, yeah, please. I love you. You're my father-in-law. You're the best father-in-law I've ever had. No, that all happened in my head. I said, Darcy, can I tell you the question that you should be asking me? Because people ask me lots of questions. But let me tell you a great question to ask someone like me. Pastor Richard, what should I be asking you? Because sometimes I don't even know what I don't know. And so he said, oh. So he writes it down. Ask him what he thinks I should ask him. So he wrote that down. Ask Richard what he thinks I should be asking. So I said, so are you asking? He said, yes, I'm asking. I said, you should be asking me what's kept me passionate from a 16-year-old young boy to a 40-year-old. You should be, no one asks me that. You know, people ask me, how did you build a church? And how do you put your messages together? And how do you raise up godly children? People ask all good questions, but you know, none of that really matters if I'm not really passionate about God. Yeah. Right. Listen to what I'm saying. I was teaching him, Darcy, don't make it all about you and what you want to know. Ask that person what they think you should know. I wonder when you come to prayer, how many times you just say, God, I've got a whole lot of stuff I want to say. But what do you think should I be saying to you? Because I don't think God's in heaven going, I don't know, I'm speechless. I've got nothing to say. I don't know. You're so smart down there and you guys, don't you think God wants to talk to you about some things that you haven't even thought that He wants to talk to you about? Because you may think a certain area of your life is unbelievable and God's going, I know you want to talk about this, but I actually want to talk about that. Have you given Him the space to even do that? You want to talk about moving on, and God actually wants to talk to you about your past. Yeah. Oh, but the past is behind us. Not if you're still chained to it. Yeah. Not if you're still chained. Yeah. And for some of us, it's all about the past. God, why did that happen? And God says, yeah, I'm not really interested in that. I want to talk about your future. How about we change our prayer life and stop making it a to-do list and a shopping list from Coles? And why don't we, is anyone getting something out of this? You know, they say in life, this is a statement, a quote, don't copy what successful people do, copy the way they think. Don't copy what successful people do, because if they've already done it, it's probably too late to do exactly what they're doing. But the faith that it took for them to do that, the innovation that it took, the roads, the path, their pathways, you know, you can take that on and it will change your life. Do you know when it comes to Jesus? We can do what he did or we can work out why he did it. Why did he do it? How many of you heard of a guy called Samuel? Samuel was a prophet. And when young Samuel was born, he was born out of a miracle. And his mum handed him over to the church. The Bible says that during that time, God didn't speak. Did you know there was a season where God did not speak to any prophet? The word of God was really rare, it says. And then this young boy, Samuel, comes along. And he's watching all these priests just do their duty. They're just doing their duty, doing their duty. And God wasn't happy with any one of them, the Bible tells us. Especially the main priest called Eli. He was a wicked man because he didn't raise up his children in the ways of God. But then this young boy, Samuel, let's read it together. Look at what it says about Samuel. It says, now the boy. Sometimes you don't even need to be a man. You can be really young. It says, now the boy Samuel, what did he do? Ministered to the Lord. Did you know you can have a ministry to the Lord? Do you know God's heart is broken all the time by the things going on in the world? Yeah. Do you ever stop to say, God, I'm sorry that people are breaking your heart? Or is it, God, help me? Or can we turn, I hope that scared you. When was the last time you asked God how he's going? Oh, but his God is always fine. Is he? No, the Bible tells me he gets angry. The Bible tells me he was grieved. The Bible tells me he created us. Remember, he's not a robot. He's got emotions. When was the last time you asked him how he's feeling? Yes. Now, what we probably don't want to hear is, you know what? I just want to give up. I don't want to be God anymore. We probably don't want to hear that from him. You know, I'm going to get off my throne. But you know what? Samuel, let's read the rest of it. What does it say? It says, now Samuel ministered to the Lord, just like this scripture is ministering to me right now. Here it comes, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. No, we've lost it, we've deleted it, it's gone. Okay, this is what it says. It says, now the boy Samuel, listen to it, ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. But do you know what it says straight after that? The Bible says that God spoke. And he said, Samuel, Samuel. God started speaking again. When? When Samuel started ministering to him. Yeah. You know, for some of you, it's like, God doesn't speak to me anymore. When was the last time you ministered to him? But I go to church all the time. Yeah, that's not ministering to the Lord. Yes. You can sit in the seats there and nothing happens. How do we know that? Because there were people surrounding Jesus one day and no one got a miracle except for one woman who got down real low. And she pushed in and she pressed in and she was the only person that got the miracle. You can have a whole church like this and only one person actually goes deeper with God. The rest of us, we get some information. It was inspirational. But why don't you choose to be the person that goes deeper today? Friend, when you get to heaven, you don't need a miracle. We've got brand new bodies. There's no one to get saved. Everyone is saved. God gave you a mansion, so you don't need to pray about houses. You don't need to pray about your finances because God's going to keep the lights on because he is the light. Listen, when you walk into heaven, there's only going to be one thing to do. Just have a relationship with your God. So here's the question. Why would you wait till then? Start now. Start your beautiful relationship with God right now. Start it. Develop it. Seek his face. So much to say. I've run out of minutes, but I can actually sum up the rest of my message in these next few words. Pastor Richard, how does that help us with spiritual warfare? How does that help us? I'll give you one scripture and it'll explain it all. Acts chapter 19, verses 15 to 16. Watch this. The Bible tells us there were seven brothers who were casting out demons. And they walked up to a demon-possessed person, and wait for it, watch me. They walked up to this demon-possessed person and they said, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. This is what they said to this demon-possessed guy. In the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, come out of this person. This is the response they got. But at one time, when they tried it, the evil spirit replied, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? Then the man with the evil spirit leapt on them, overpowered them, attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house naked and battered. How does all of this help you with spiritual warfare? You can have all the weapons, but if you don't know the man, demons know about that. Demons know. So I could preach a whole message to you about the name of Jesus. Guys, use the name of Jesus. It is powerful. But the demon will go, yeah, I know Jesus, but who are you? If you're going to do stuff like that, you've got to do it with Jesus right beside you. Demon, in the name of Jesus. Not in the name of Jesus, the guy who's out there somewhere. No, in the name of him, my mate. My Lord, my Savior, the one who, him, get out. Yeah, come on, let's give it up for the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hey, listen, when you're praying prayers that are very powerful, don't give the enemy the right to say, so who are you? Who am I? I'm a God-fearing, God-loving, faith-seeking Christian. That's who I am. Don't pull this on me. I love God. I love Him for who He is. He's my Father. Come on, let's go on a journey. You know what I love about this? You don't need to go to Bible college to do this. Actually, sometimes it's better you don't. You can do this in your car. You can do this on a mountain. You can do this while you're lying flat in your bed and your partner's already got up to go to work and you're just there all by yourself for a moment. How about instead of thinking about work and who you're going to tell off and why she say that, why don't you just go, God, I love you. You are amazing. You made me wake up again. You could have woken me up with a few pounds lighter, God, but it doesn't matter about that. I love you. You're amazing. You're my God. I can't thank you enough for what you've done for me. Thank you. There it is. You've done it. But listen, it doesn't need to stop there. Then you hop out of your bed and you hop into the shower. You know, while you're there, instead of thinking about all your problems, just God. I just want to seek your face. Oh, Lord. You're beautiful. And the water's rushing down your back. Your face, Lord, it's all I seek. For when your eyes are on this child, Lord, your grace abounds to me. Oh, come on, you see. Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I seek. For when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. Come on, what is then to your feet? You sing it to him. Oh Lord, your beautiful, Lord, your face is all I see. Yes, for when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. Sing from the front to the back. Sing it to him. Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Renew your faith, and your face is all I see. Yes, for when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. Come on, why don't you just tell him with your voice right now? Tell him how much you love him. Tell him that you love him just for who he is. Tell him that you appreciate his character. Tell him that you appreciate his plan. Tell him that you appreciate that he made you alive, that he gave you health. You've got children. They're not perfect, but you praise God for them. Tell him that you love him just for who he is. Father God, we love you. We will praise you with our mouth. We will lift you up in our hearts. Oh God, yes. Thank you, my Father.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.